Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
And we'll be in chapter 10 next week. Chapter 10's kind of a complex chapter as far as some of the concepts there, but we'll be talking about that next week. But today, the title of the message is Run. Run. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 through 27. Run. And I'm going to read verse 24, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. 1 Corinthians 9, 24, the Word of God says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain." And this was an exhortation to the church at Corinth, and it's an exhortation to all of us as well. We need to get in the race and run. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you would forgive us for our sins. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Just bless us and use your Word this morning, please use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Do a work in this place that can only be explained by you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Appreciate everybody being here this morning. And we are going to be looking at a very interesting passage here. Paul's using sporting events as an illustration of the Christian life. And the first thing we see is that he talks about the race. The race. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain." Now this race he's referring to, of course, is the Christian life. But literally he's using the Corinthians' knowledge of the Isthmian Games. And that was a sporting event that was actually held in Corinth. It had been held and was held for several hundred years. And it was held every other year. And it was held on the Isthmus of Corinth. There you see a map. And Adam Clark tells us that the Isthmian Games had several different sports. He says the exercises in the games were running, wrestling, boxing, and throwing the discus. Now, you'll remember that in the Scriptures, Paul uses running as an illustration, wrestling as an illustration, and he uses boxing as an illustration. So apparently Paul liked sports. He was a sports guy. And he used these as illustrations. So he's talking about the Isthmian Games here. And the second thing we see, not only the race, but the winner. The winner. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize. So run that ye may obtain." In the Isthmian Games, there were not second or third prizes. That's different from what we're used to. But there was no second or third place. There was only the winner. There was only a winner. Coach Vince Lombardi, this is a famous quote, but Coach Lombardi said, "Winning is not everything, it's the only thing." And that was his philosophy. And indeed, in these races, winning was the only thing. If you entered the race, you had to win. And Paul's using that as an illustration of the Christian life. And when we run our race in the Christian life, when we live for Christ and we run this race that's set before us, we are not competing against anyone. We are just running our race. Everybody has their own race. God's put you here for an individual purpose. You have an individual race to run. I'm not in competition with the church down the street. I'm the pastor of this church. I have to do what God's called me to do in this church. And this church has got to run its own race. It doesn't have to be like Rockbridge. It doesn't have to be like Macedonia. It doesn't have to be like any place else. But it has to be what God has called Harmony to be. to this community. And so each one of you too has your own race to run. You're not in competition with other Christians. You've just got to run your race. But you do need to win. You need to win. And Paul talks about that in this passage. Now, thirdly, we see the exhortation. There's an exhortation that Paul gives. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize, so run that ye may obtain. Paul's exhortation is run. Run. Don't sit around, but run. A lot of people kind of drift through life and don't really have a purpose or a goal, but Paul says don't just be a spectator, but be a participant. Get in the race and run. And some of you may think, well, I've done my time in the Christian race, and now I'm older, and I can't run anymore. Well, you may not be able to physically run, but you can spiritually run, and you can still be in the race. I suppose that Miss Alcy would not want me to single her out, but I am going to single her out for just a second, because Miss Alcy, I was talking to somebody the other day, and Miss Alcy, if she lives to be 100 years old, will probably still be cooking food. I mean, that's just her ministry. And there are others of you that have a ministry and you have a place in the church, and get in the race and run. Don't just be a spectator, but be a participant. So run, Paul says, that you may obtain. So we've seen the race. We've seen the winner. There's only one winner. You're not in competition with anybody else. The exhortation, run. And now, the importance of moderation. The importance of moderation. Verse 25, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now, the word temperate there means restrained. It means that they're showing moderation. And my wife's mother, my mother-in-law, is an athlete. That's what she does. She competes in the Ironman competitions, and she goes and does, I don't know how long it is, but, you know, it's just ridiculous. They swim across the ocean, and then they bike for hundreds of miles, and then they run, and they do all this kind of stuff, and by the end of the night, she's, you know, about to pass out, and it looks terrible to me, but it's what she does. She loves it. And she's always exercising, riding her bike, jogging. It's just the life she lives. And she shows moderation. She shows moderation in what she eats, in what she puts into her body, into the discipline she does with exercise, even the way she sleeps. She sleeps on a bed that's just rock hard. It's like sleeping on a slab. And I don't know how she does it, but it's what she does. And that's because she's an athlete. It's dedication. And all of us know that athletes have to be disciplined in what they eat and what they drink and how they live. And Christians, too, must show moderation if we're going to live the Christian life. Later on in the passage, Paul will talk about his body, about the body. And it's very important that we be spiritually temperate in order to live the Christian life, that we show moderation in the spiritual life, that we show discipline, that we read our Bibles, that we pray, that we're disciplined in those things like an athlete would be disciplined, and also in the care of the body. Because if the body wears out, then it limits what you can do. I know a lot of... one thing we don't think about is getting enough sleep. We need to get enough sleep. That's something my wife has a terrible trouble falling asleep at night and staying asleep. And it's terrible on her health. But we need to get enough sleep. And I'm on a bivocational ministers forum, and they were talking about how much sleep do you get a night? And some people said they got 6 hours and some 4 hours and some 8 hours. I try to get 8 hours of sleep. Different people, some will argue about this, but different people, I believe, need different amounts of sleep. But we need to show moderation in those things as well. And we need to show moderation in what we eat. I don't do a good job of that. And I'm going to have to do something. I've been on a diet for years. It's where you eat whatever you want to and you don't exercise at all. And that's been my diet for years. And I know that eventually that'll kill me. I may die happy, but it'll kill me. But no, I need to, in order to, as we get older, I remember Austin Gardner and my wife's pastor, and when he came to the United States, he was a missionary in Peru for years, and when he came to the United States at 50 years old to start a church, and my wife was a part of that church plant in Alpharetta, he went on a diet, and he started exercising and doing all this stuff because he said, well, at 50 years old, if I'm going to start a church, I've got to be in shape. And so it was just, and he's not like a workout buff, but he keeps healthy. And so both spiritual and physical moderation. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, which leads us to the prize. The prize. They were competing for a crown. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. When these athletes ran in a race or competed, they would strive for a crown, the corruptible crown. It was made of pine wreath. And, of course, we know that a pine wreath will not last. That's why the Bible says it's corruptible. I mean, you take a crown made of pine wreath, and eventually they'll turn brown. The pine needles will turn brown. I looked on my garage floor. Y'all know that I hate to mow grass. And so I brought my little lawnmower over because the grass was getting so high out there. I don't think the guys mowed it last time. I forgot to leave or my dogs were out there or something. But at any rate, it was getting high. So I brought my little lawnmower over from the house, and I was out with a pastor friend of mine, and he had a truck, and I took him to lunch, and then after lunch I said, hey, can you run by and get my lawnmower? Because that's what you do when people have trucks. I bought his lunch, he hauls my lawnmower. So I got it over here and I mowed, and the grass was real wet, so by the time it kept gumming up, and I just parked the mower in the garage. Well, the other day, I went out the carport, and I was looking. It looked like a dead animal under the mower. And I said, what is this? So I picked it up, and it was just a ring of dead grass that had turned black. Because I didn't even think about, that happening. But it was caked on there, so it did. And that's what happens to plants. Plants die. And so the crown that they put on, that they worked so hard for, they were so disciplined for in their diet, in their lifestyle, in their exercise, they were so disciplined to win this crown, and they would get it, and it'd die. They do it for a corruptible crown, but we, an incorruptible. Now, in the book of Revelation, the Bible talks about these elders, and it talks about their crowns. We an incorruptible. Revelation 4:4, and round about the throne there were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Not corruptible crowns, but crowns of gold. And what did they do with these crowns of gold? Revelation 4:10 through 11. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were created. So what do they do with their crowns? They say, all honor belongs to the Lord, and they cast their crowns at his feet. And so, when we get our prize belongs, the glory belongs to Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to look at these incorruptible crowns here. The Bible mentions five crowns that a believer could earn. And I've got some illustrations here to show this. And this comes from the Mailbox Bible Club. You may have seen these before, but at any rate, these are the illustrations. The first crown mentioned that we'll mention is the crown of rejoicing. That's for those who win others to Christ. This is sometimes called the soul winner's crown, 1 Corinthians 2:19. Then there is the crown of righteousness for those who look for and love Christ's return, 2 Timothy 4:8. There's the crown of glory for those who faithfully teach and preach God's word, 1 Peter 5:4. Number four is the incorruptible crown for those who run a good race in the Christian life, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. And then the crown of life for those who suffer for the name of Christ, especially those who lay down their lives for Him. We receive the crown of life by being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee crown of life. And so, we are earning in the Christian life, by the grace of God, we're earning incorruptible crowns. Now, you don't earn salvation. Everybody here understands that, I hope, but it's worth saying again and again and again that salvation is by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when we get saved by the grace of God through faith alone in Jesus Christ, after we get saved, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so God wants you, in fact, He saved you to do good works. And He wants you to do good works. And by doing those works through the grace of God, you can earn these crowns. And so we want to earn the prize. And so we've seen the race, the winner, the exhortation, run, the importance of moderation, and now we're going to see Paul's strategy for victory. Paul has a strategy for victory, and this is his strategy. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So Paul's using an illustration of running and boxing. And he says, I run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beats the air. And Paul is basically saying, I don't run without a purpose or aimlessly. I'm not just shadow boxing. Paul had a purpose. Some people seem to live the Christian life like they have no purpose. And some people carry out the ministry without purpose. They just do things and go here and there. And Paul had a purpose in what he did. If he struck a blow, he struck it with purpose. If he ran the race, he ran it with purpose. I know a businessman who gives quite a bit to missions. He used to give 70% of his income to missions, but on a yearly basis. But if you just, I've never asked him for money, but if you were to just ask him for money, you know, I'm going to do so-and-so, can you give me some money, you probably won't get it, because he takes every missions venture that he gives to and he quizzes the missionary, and he does it like it's an investment into a business thing. He's very serious about his giving. He's giving 70% of his income, so he wants to know, where are you going? What's your purpose in this trip? What is your plans? How much is the plane ticket going to cost? What are you going to do? What are your living expenses? What are you doing for outreach? What are you doing for this? What are you doing for that? He breaks it down. He wants to know exactly what they're doing. He gives with purpose. And Paul, when he carried out the ministry, he did it with a purpose. He's not just aimlessly doing the ministry. He's doing it with purpose. And notice what he says here, "I therefore so run." He's using running, not as uncertainly. "So fight I." He's using boxing, not as one that beats the air. Now, he's running. And we've already said that the Christian race, the life, the Christian life is not a race against other people. So who is Paul running the race against? Who is he fighting against? He's boxing, but it's not a fight against others. Who is he fighting against? Who was Paul's opponent in this race and fight? And you may be surprised to learn that Paul's opponent was Paul. It was Paul. Notice what he says in verse 27. "But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul's opponent was himself. And the truth is, we like to talk about, now the devil's against us, and he's got demons that are against us, but our chief opponent is ourselves. And if you always think the devil's your chief opponent in the Christian life, that'll distract you from your real opponent, which is a trick of the devil. It'll distract you from your real opponent, which is you. We are the ones that can stop us. And there's really nobody that can stop you but you. "But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." Basically what Paul's saying is that he directs his punches at himself. He tames his own body. And in fact, William Tyndale translated it that way. Many years before King James was translated. And Tyndale translated it as, "But I tame my body and bring it under subjection, lest after that I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." And so that's really what we're doing. We're directing blows at ourselves. We're taming our own bodies. Because Paul was concerned that if he didn't do that, that he'd be a castaway. Now, the word castaway doesn't have anything to do with losing your salvation. Salvation is an eternal gift of God. You don't earn salvation. You don't keep salvation by good works. It's an eternal gift. It's everlasting life, everlasting salvation. But Paul was concerned that he'd be a castaway. And the word castaway, Thayer's Lexicon says that it means not standing the test, not approved. And that's the idea of the word castaway, is that someone does not stand the test. And that's what Paul was concerned about. He was concerned that after preaching the gospel and after doing this, that if he didn't tame his own body, that he would be disqualified from the race. And he was worried about being put on the shelf. He was worried about not standing the test, not being approved when it was all said and done. And a lot of preachers have just talking about preachers, a lot of preachers have gotten into things with their bodies and been disqualified from pastoring and from different parts of the ministry. And some are out of the ministry forever. Some go to, you know, sell used cars and all that kind of stuff. And Paul was concerned about that. Now, there is restoration. It's important to say that people can be restored. In fact, Galatians 6:1 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And I'm friends, some people on Facebook have a restoration ministry. They work with fallen preachers and they try and restore them and help them. But the guy that's in charge of that ministry, there are things that once you have done certain things that you're disqualified from doing. And Paul was concerned about that. The guy that leads this restoration ministry that I'm friends with on Facebook, his dad was a great, great preacher and pastor, but very influential in my life. But his son had an addiction to sex, and he didn't molest any children or anything like that, but he did some really terrible things, and I understand we've all done terrible things, but these are things that disqualified him. He knows he can't pastor a church. He knows that. He had gotten to the point where he thought he'd never really be used, and then God's now using him in this restoration ministry. And there is restoration, but there are people that have done things, they'll never be able to be used like they could have been used. By the way, this guy is an incredible preacher. He's like his dad. And if he hadn't done what he did, he would be pastoring a church with thousands of members and been very influential, and instead, he still has people that constantly think he shouldn't even be showing his face in public, even though it's been 20 years. And it puts a stigma on you. And so there is restoration, but Paul was concerned that he would be disqualified because God was using him and he didn't want to come to a place to where he was knocked out of that race that God had given him. And we, just as Christians, it's not just preachers, but as Christians, we need to watch ourselves. We need to stay away from things that could knock us out of the race. Pornography is rampant. There's all kinds of wicked things. I don't drink at all. I know that some people here drink a glass of wine or whatever, and that's fine. That's between you and God. But don't let yourself become an alcoholic. It's dangerous. If you start drinking to the point where you're hiding it from people and you're doing that kind of a thing, you need to talk to somebody because you have a problem. And the devil wants to do things to destroy our lives and to make us to, and he brings you to a point to where you're afraid to show your face because you think, well, God doesn't, you know, God's mad at me and all this kind of a thing. And you're God's child and you need to seek help. There's shameful things. Sex addiction is one of the worst things in the United States, and people are in fact, around the world. And as I saw a thing the other day, a lot of the kids use Snapchat, and there was an article that came out with parents that were concerned, and Snapchat has corrected this now, but they have apparently some kind of a stream, I've never used it, where they advertise, they suggest sites. And they had an after 6 o'clock all pornography site that they were advertising on Snapchat that the kids could go to. It was showing up in the kids' feed. And it's just, it's disgusting. And they had to get rid of it. And you've got all kinds of people becoming addicted to this kind of stuff that are going to need help. So if you have a problem, please seek help. Don't just cover it up. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. I heard the story of a pastor who he had a church member that came. This is a true story as far as I know. The church member came and said, I have a problem with pornography. And the pastor said, okay, I'll help you. I'll counsel you. Tell me what sites you're looking at. So he gave him the sites. The pastor went to check them out, and he became a pornography addict. So use some sense. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So Paul says, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul didn't want to get knocked out of the race. He wanted to be able to run his race, and you want to be able to run your race in the Christian life. So Paul, by way of exhortation, says, get in the race and run. Run. But then use moderation. Your opponent is you. Your main enemy is yourself. Keep yourself in the Bible. Keep yourself in submission to Jesus Christ. Because the devil would like nothing more than to see you knocked out of the race, and he will use you to knock you out of the Christian race. I'm going to turn. I didn't intend to read this, but I'm going to see if I can find this other verse because I think it's important here. Okay. James 1:13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away by what? When he's drawn away of his own lust. His own lust. And enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. The devil loves to draw you away, and you'll draw yourself away by your own sin nature, by your own lust inside of you. And your chief opponent is you. So get in the race and run, but watch yourself. But I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these thy people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that you just help us today and in the weeks ahead to just stay in your word on a daily basis, to pray, to stay close to you. And if we do stumble, to know that we can come to you, and if we need to get help, that we can come and we can confidentially get help. But I do pray that you would just help us to run that race and not to quit, not to give up, and not to get knocked out of the race. We ask it in Jesus' name. We pray if anyone here is not saved, that they would turn to you today by faith and trust you as Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.